How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, fully clothed, Susie Ruffle, and...
Me, Tom Allen.
Who's in Oatmeal All Grey.
We can't decide. We will not be drawn on it. We will not be drawn on these important matters.
How are you doing, Tom?
I am good. Thank you, Susie. It's a grey day today.
It's really grey, isn't it?
Oh, it's miserable. Another grey, miserable day. And I have to keep reminding Mum and Dad to turn lamps on because it gets to like 4 or 5 o'clock and the evening gloom seeps in and they're watching like 12 in a Bed or whatever it's called.
Flog It and 12 in a Bed.
They could be porn films.
Yeah, they could be porn films. But, and do you know what? If your Mum and Dad want to do that in the dark... on an interior afternoon. Do you know what? Let's not judge.
That is true. They could be porn films. Are there any other daytime? Homes Under the Hammer?
No. Homo Under the Hammer?
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Some people are into that.
Sure.
This morning.
Loose Women?
Oh, yeah. That could be, definitely. Oh, yeah. That's fun. The news.
15 to 1.
Countdown.
The chase,
definitely.
But then they just don't end up having sex.
Definitely.
Pointless, definitely.
Definitely. If I was making it. I'm trying to think.
Tipping Point, just about.
Tipping Point, yeah. This is good. The other ITV game show.
I don't really watch Tea Time TV.
Richard Osman's House of Games.
Yes.
He would.
I'm not sure how much Richard's going to like us suggesting that his...
He'll love the publicity.
He'll
love the publicity. He would love it.
It's very dark, isn't it? It's very grey today. It's absolutely very pissing down outside.
Absolutely. We've got a tin roof clang. And,
literally, clang, 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 clang.
Literally, Susie, literally. That's so good. Susie's on fire today, everybody.
It's because I've been up since so long.
Have you?
Yeah, I just woke up early this morning.
I woke up very early also. And there was a lovely hint of sun in the sky. And then the DPD man arrived and delivered me some more lamps, which really...
Oh, my God. How many lamps have you got in your house at the moment?
So we're on 4 in the house. 1 is on the way. Because I got a buy one, get one free on these particular ones.
A bug off.
As they list it on the website, which isn't very elegant.
It's horrid.
Otherwise very elegant. Did I tell you about these lamps before, Suze? They look like they're like normal size lamps. They arrived. They're like something out of a cathedral. I'm going to do a sacrifice.
Well, that's handy for the next time we do a sacrifice. You've already got the lights in.
I am thrilled that I
next time you're doing Flog It
candles. Yeah, that would be great. You can't really drip a light bulb on somebody in sort of the agony and ecstasy of it, can you?
No, not really.
Burnish them with an LED light bulb. Do they heat up? They don't even heat up. No,
I don't think so. Are they the sad lamps? The SAD ones?
No, I've not got one of those. Have you?
No, a couple of friends have they.
Are they? How are they feeling?
I don't know. Not so chuffed that they've messaged me.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it doesn't sound like it's gone that well. I imagine they're quite fun.
Yeah, but I think they're probably quite good. Yeah, like Mystic Meg.
Yeah, where's Mystic Meg these days? Does she still do her thing in The Sun?
I don't know, Tom. I haven't read The Sun for years. I can't say that I ever really read it.
I'm surprised you ever read it. I can't. But then you do have a very checkered past.
I do. that prison stint. That,
you know, let's not forget that.
Do you know what? Talking of prison stints.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm going in The Slammer. another porn film.
Another porn film. Literally, I think. Yeah.
But on my Netflix, I don't think I've ever watched anything that's like...
that is particularly grisly. But every time I like log into it to watch something, the first advert that comes up is always like, I killed four men and I am sorry. Like, they keep wanting me to watch, like,
because there is that algorithm thing, isn't there? That it's,
but,
isn't there, like,
how are they getting that from Schitt's Creek?
I think that I might be wrong here, and I'm happy to be schooled / shouted down and cancelled, but isn't there this...
You're not happy to be cancelled. That's literally what keeps you and I up at night.
I would be so... Well, then it would be done. Yeah. Then it would be done. You know?
You stop worrying about it.
I think I might cancel myself. Yeah. Then I could get on with my life finally. But isn't there this stereotype that women in their 30s watch...
Schitt's Creek and
Schitt's Creek, and but also love watching things about serial killers. Have you heard that?
I think it's a thing. I definitely think it's a thing, because there's lots of podcasts, isn't there, about murders, and I do listen to a couple of them.
Yes, yes.
Kerry Pritchard-McLean and Rachel Fairbairns is very funny.
But I'm sure I've heard that before, and I think that there is a crossover there. People who watch Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, just like Life on Death Row, Killer in the Courtyard. You know. Oh my God, my mum married a ghost. You know, yeah. All that shit.
You're thinking of, you might be getting confused with Take Chat. A Break magazine. Yeah. I think that's Netflix.
But, right, sure. But, Take a Break from reality.
Yeah. Because I get a bit like that. Well, the other day it did get it right though, when it started telling me to watch Call My Agent.
We've spoken about this before on the podcast, and it's on my list.
6%, which could be a porn film as well.
Go on. Yeah.
I was going to say,
talking of getting cancelled, I almost had like the worst faux pas in the world this week. And do you know what?
Fox Pairs. Yeah.
Honestly, Tom, you won't believe the stress I had. So I clean my teeth with an electric toothbrush. It's going all right. Clang. Okay. And so I was cleaning my teeth.
Is that what you tell people you're doing?
Tom, please.
Sorry.
I was cleaning my teeth, thank you very much, and I was on Twitter at the same time, sort of reading, scrolling, which is terrible for me, and I constantly tell you and everyone else not to do it, and then I do it.
Yeah.
And it was the Holocaust Day of Remembrance, and so I was reading a lot of the stuff about it, and Stonewall had tweeted about it, and I was reading the article, and I was reading lots of other stuff, and then some water dripped from my mouth onto my phone.
Oh no.
To do a reply.
Oh no.
And the reply was ZZZ and then like a load of numbers, which made it look like I was like saying, like.
That's what you were saying. Like, ZZZ, of course, sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And so then I didn't tweet it. I obviously didn't tweet it. I like immediately was like,
my nightmare.
I didn't tweet it, so it was fine. Yeah. But deleted all the characters that had come up from me dripping my mouth. Yeah. Like, could you imagine anything worse? Could you imagine anything worse than me just like looking? Looking like I was.
Oh my God!
Sort of.
It would be
like some awful bigot. Luckily, there were numbers afterwards, so you would have to assume that people would be like, "This is clearly a mistake." But then I was like getting into bed,
I can only imagine,
and I had to check it. And I'm not joking; I checked it about 400 times.
Oh bless!
And then I had to get Alice to check it on her phone to be like, "I didn't do this, did I?" And then even the next morning, I was like terrified to open up Twitter in case I had accidentally tweeted something. And then how do you say to someone, "Oh, I didn't do that. It was just the saliva that hangs out of my mouth while I'm cleaning my teeth like a bulldog."
We all get those toothpaste drips. And
anyway,
you know,
but Tom, that sounds like I'm stopping my phone on flight mode before I go into the bathroom now.
What are you going to read when you're in there? This is madness.
That's it. Do you know what, Tom? I'm having to listen to my own thoughts.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's what we should all do, though. That's what we should all do, not be afraid of our thoughts. But that sounds, I can imagine your pain. Because I fear, and I look through Twitter, that I'll accidentally like something.
Oh my God.
So I have to go, even if it's something innocuous, but then I'm like, and not that I'm following as well contentious people on Twitter, but I'm just like, it would just seem so weird if out of the blue, I'm like,
do you check your likes before bed?
Of course, that's the last thing I do before.
Yeah, okay, good. So, I'm so pleased I'm not the only person.
I'm on, well, so I have to limit, I don't go on Twitter very much now. I'm tending to, I try and come off it because I find it so full of this kind of mentality. And so on my, so yeah, so this, on Safari where I'm looking at it, I then have to go to the profile, look at the likes. But like, not, like I say, not that I would like anything.
No, but do you ever fall down like a conspiracy theory hole?
Oh, what, that they do it? They do it without you knowing?
No. Tom, I'm not creating conspiracy theories on this podcast. What I mean is, like, you know, like I will, like, so when there was like the storm of the Capitol, I was like fascinated by the people that were in there.
QAnon, yeah.
And so I like looked at a few people's Twitter pages who were saying like, I'm storming the Capitol today.
Just, oh
like,
my God.
Fascinated by who these people are.
Like their tweets.
Or like RT'd it. People being like, I'm going to the Capitol. Could you imagine? People would be like, oh, it turns out Susie is really right wing.
It would be also, I mean, it would be very ambitious for you to think that you could get there.
Like, how am I getting to the Capitol? Maybe the BBC could fund it and it could be some sort of travel log.
Susie's doing a travel log.
She's doing a right wing travel log.
Yeah.
Although I've got to say, there are some comedians we're both aware of who are doing right wing just because they know that the BBC
want.
I'm not talking about people that are like conservative comics, not that, but like people who are clearly being like, I'm going to be bonkers.
To get a few clicks. Yeah.
To get a few clicks, or so that they can get. But I don't know how these people don't think it through. If it's like, oh, are you going to be someone that's like an anti-vaxxer? It's like, well, when all this is over, people are going to be like, I don't want to work with them.
I mean,
they spread misinformation.
And also, yeah, I mean, where does it? Because I think 10 years ago, if you were doing a bit of like, I would never get vaccinated, you know, that would be kind of like, wow, this is a contentious opinion. We must get them on all of the daytime news programs. But now it feels a bit like,
well, also, we're living through a global pandemic. So.
Yeah. Do we need contrary opinions? I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Nice, intelligent people to be nice and intelligent. That's what I want.
Yeah, I just want someone to put their arms around me and say, I understand it.
Yeah. I also want someone to go, I understand it, so you don't have to.
Oh my God. It's all I'm after.
I don't want to have to think about, you know.
Well, you know, I had to stop reading the news at one point and Alice just read the news and told me if there's anything I needed.
Oh, there's, you know, there's you still end up reading the news, but a very cool, as in like temperature cool way of getting the news I found is an Instagram Instagram page called Simple Politics.
Simple Politics, yes.
Maybe you got
I thought you were about to say something like called The Guardian. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's called The Daily Express. And
it's called The Spectator.
Oh, God. Now, my fear now, as we've done that, and laughed, is that somebody's going to take that out of context and put that somewhere, and then we're going to be like, oh yeah, and that's going to be like, oh my God. But just
I think you've got to also remind yourself that, like, people, like, when I'm having these panics, I've accidentally responded to a tweet that I know that I haven't responded to.
Yes.
A terribly sad tweet about atrocities that have happened. My girlfriend's like, yeah, but people know you.
That's it.
You're going
yeah.
to think, this must be a mistake. But then, of course, I think, well, but does everyone secretly hate me?
Of course, and then...
And then that's a whole Pandora's box, and she's not sleeping for a week.
Yeah, and Pandora's Box, great porn film. But the...
Oh my God, that is a really good one. And do you know what? The script is very good in that.
For once, somebody's paid attention to the storyline.
Thank God.
I think that it's very easy to fall down that hole. But yeah, fundamentally... You know, I think we see these people who get, as we say, cancelled, but fundamentally they are often like very much leaning into their, not even cancelled or courting that kind of controversy.
Yeah.
Very much leaning into that. Like,
wouldn't that just be so exhausting to be someone that was always contrary?
Oh God. Yeah.
When someone says, I hate to play devil's advocate, you know that they really love to play devil's advocate.
Nobody needs them to do that either. No.
Like we all have voices in our head, right? Saying, and also, what if?
Yeah. And no one seems to play devil's advocate to the right wing. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
If someone goes like...
I hate to be devil's advocate, but socialised healthcare does sound like a good idea.
Good idea. Yeah, exactly. devil's advocate, if we storm the Capitol building, might that look really bad for actually the liberal freedoms that we purport to be championing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I don't care. Bring your gun.
Yeah. I mean.
Now, Tom, we've got a theme this week. Oh, sorry. That was very...
No, I was going to say, I've been putting it off because I kind of find it very difficult to talk about, and I feel like I'm not the only person listening this time around who's going to be on the same page as this.
Yes, we wanted to talk about community this week, but specifically...
Oh, that's not the bit that I find... Sorry.
No, that's not the bit that you find disgusting. Not disgusting, but that you find upsetting.
To talk about this.
But the reason that we started talking about this or texting each other saying, oh, we should talk about this in the podcast is because we've both watched It's a Sin.
Which I feel like I feel like probably everybody has, but maybe...
If you're listening and you haven't watched it. I mean, I would say pause the podcast.
I mean, it's, and I think I often am very kind of up my own arse about like, they can never capture like the truth of what the experience is, blah, blah, blah. And I watched it and I was like, oh God, I am so invested and so connected to all of these characters. And this is I think it's the most harrowing thing I've ever seen.
It's very, very moving. It's very upsetting. I love Russell T. Davies.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of, I saw something where they said it's almost like a companion piece to Queer as Folk.
Mm.
And it suddenly made a lot more sense. So many more things made sense because I thought I knew about it, but then about the whole era and about the AIDS crisis. But it turns out actually, it's so sad. It's so tragic that I suppose, it's easy to not want to investigate it in great depth. And I think the program really kind of, shows you it in all its detail. I mean,
I just agree. I just found it. I just thought it was a brilliant piece of television. I think Russell T. Davies is amazing. And I mean, I feel like he's like one of the great storytellers of this generation in how he captured that moment. Obviously, like you and I both went there, but it felt like, I was so much of it was so joyous.
Yeah.
First couple of episodes, following these people moving to London. And obviously, lived just outside of London, but you and I have definitely spoken about the idea that like London is this place where you can like be free and be yourself find that community.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't always live at my mum's. Well,
no.
With my mum, I did move into town for a time, and it did make me think about the house shows I did in my 20s.
Yeah.
In London around sort of Camden and around that area. And it felt very reminiscent of that era and sort of when I was involved with like when I did the National Youth Theatre and kind of, that whole thing where they say la, la.
Yeah.
Whenever they walk into a room, and I was like, I'm sure I would have found that, I thought I would find that sort of thing very annoying. And I was like, no, I remember doing things like that.
Totally. Yeah.
And sort of that kind of, oh, we're this now. This is who we are now. Like, I'm an adult now and we can...
We can do what we want and we can party and we can stay out really late and no one's going to tell us what time to be home.
Well, and I remember going on those when they're sort of like wandering around the streets in a pack of five, six of them, like going from bar to bar and I remember, obviously, I mean, everyone I suppose does that to an extent, but just like those times when you're just so young and you sort of, I found I was like wearing clothes that didn't quite suit me or whatever. And I was just like trying to blend in and just being ridiculously kind of youthful. And then with the, it's just sort of so many thoughts I had about it all. It taught me a lot about like the context of where like our generation and everybody comes along in the history of queer culture. Did you find that?
Yeah, I think so. I think what it reminded me more than anything is that our community has like a whole generation that was lost. Obviously not everybody died, but like all of those people, all of those stories, who they could have been, who they were, the fact that, just the sadness around all of it, that, so many men died by themselves or their families lied about what they had or who they were, that very upsetting scene at the funeral where the parents sort of refused to acknowledge that he had a partner.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then there's so many things that obviously I connect with it on, you know, I'm not a gay man, I'm a gay woman, but you know, that there's so much that you can connect with, like, you know, the first time that Richie goes into a gay bar, you know, surely anyone that's queer listening, and I'm sure the allies that are listening, like, you know, when you go into that space for the first time and you see people that are like you, and I'm sure I've spoken about this on this podcast and on Out at nauseam, but that point of sort of going, oh, thank God, there's other people. There's other people like me, and they're normal people, and they're nice people, and they've got jobs.
Yeah. And
they're just there having a drink with friends. They've got friends that like them and love them. And I think that, and I also think it showed a side of like gay life that I am, like a gay man's perspective that I'm aware of because of having so many gay male friends. But like the idea that like you would have someone that you maybe slept with sometimes and you didn't other times, and they were your friends, and there was no shame around it about, you know, like the guy that Richie lives
with.
You
said it in the past tense.
what did I say? I didn't realize what I said.
No, I'm not criticizing it. No, you said you would have these friends who...
Sorry. But you know what I mean?
No, I'm joking. Yeah, absolutely. But sorry. Please continue.
No. Just it shone a light on the fact that not everything, like, you know, the heteronormative lifestyle that everyone has decided to like. Like, it's absolutely fine that some gay men didn't want or don't want to behave like that. And straight men and straight people and women, men, whatever. But.
Yeah. I think that I haven't heard that story told for a while. And I think I'd got to feeling quite ashamed of not being in a sort of monogamous relationship, but having, you know, having had experiences and like that, and feel very, there was a, not to spoil it, but there's a moment when one of the characters acknowledges like, it was so much fun. And you think that's the other thing that kind of is often removed from these stories, is that they're about, and I sort of have thought about it before, about the role modeling, I think, that we had, perhaps, was only stories that were told that were sad, that were, that people were either violently killed or abused and beaten into shame, quite literally, or they died of AIDS. And there was there was very little acknowledgement of the fact that there was so much, and there continues to be so much wit and so much
joy,
wonderful joy. Yeah. Yeah. And fun and connections that are, you know, and not, you know, not, they weren't, and they aren't always, fraught with shame, as they often are depicted in a film or a television
series. But don't you think that's because so often it's through a straight lens? And yes, I feel like Russell T. Davies absolutely sort of went, this is how it's going to be. I also read an article saying that it took him like 5 years to get that made, and loads of channels turned it down. Like, he went to Channel 4, they turned it down. He went to BBC, they turned it down. ITV said, we're not that channel yet. And then he went all the way back around to Channel 4. And someone at Channel 4... like put it in their drawer and sort of said, we've not got the people at Channel 4 right now that will want to make this, but as soon as things change, I'll let you know. And they did. Isn't that an indication? Like, I feel like, and I appreciate that I've got quite a gay Twitter feed, for want of a better word, but I feel like that's all I saw, people tweeting about it. Straight, gay, whoever, like loads of people tweeting about it.
And I could watch it in one sitting.
No.
I was going to say, I've never watched, and I guess you know, I feel connected to it because of everything, but I feel like I felt so connected to it on so many levels. Every detail I thought was so well observed.
Yeah.
And I was so ready to be like, I'm sure they'll do like broad brush strokes and it'll just be like, oh yeah, look at us. And then, you know, it wasn't like that. And it was really nuanced. And, you know, so often I'd be like, it wouldn't happen like that. But I was like, oh, I felt like...
Can you imagine it would happen like that, actually?
It would happen like that, actually, yeah. And sort of... the details of, so many moments that kind of felt like they were true, and the, like I say, the wit of the, I forgot his name.
Richie?
He's only in the first episode, the American actor.
Oh, Neil Patrick Harris.
The wit he shows and that kind of joy of their relationship, I thought was really...
beautiful.
Really, Yeah, and I've come to realize, like you say, about how when I was coming out, I realized there were no sort of role models. There were, but there weren't as many role models as I thought there might be. And there wasn't the sort of, there weren't that many people you could talk to, or, and it was kind of quite, I remember going to Pride really like in the mid-2000s, and there wasn't the, I felt there wasn't the joyousness that it's had in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. It felt really not very welcoming, not very happy. And not, it was proud in its way, but it was kind of, it was sort of, and I think it was quite muted, yeah. But of course I realized now that I was joining, you know, I was the first of the generation to come along who didn't have to, or wasn't the first, but I was one of the generation to come along to be like, to not be as affected by it, you know, yeah. A lot of yeah. the time. So, yeah. you know, I
like
was
like people
18.
That were fighting Section 28, fighting yeah. AIDS,
that would,
you know,
that
unfair dismissal at work, you know, yeah. stuff like that.
I mean, Section 28, I do remember, and I do remember the fact that there was no discrimination protection. I do remember that there was no, you know, it's equal marriage or civil partnership or you know,
any of
military
that, yeah.
presence and all of those things. And I do remember that, but I didn't have to, you know,
fight like, it.
Yeah, and in terms of AIDS as well, I think that whilst I've been aware of it, I was entering a scene, if you want a better word, that was kind of still mourning. And
of course.
I imagine there was a huge amount, which I'd never realized as well, of survivor's guilt, of those people that were, had survived it, but were probably carrying around sadness and fear, so much yeah. fear, and the added shame of kind of it not being acknowledged by the government.
Yeah,
and,
totally. And,
you know, that was so, that must have been so huge for them. And also I realized it, sorry, I'm rambling.
No, please do.
But also it explained to me why I think coming out wasn't such a like woo moment. I mean, it was amongst some of my friends and stuff, but it wasn't such a like wow, particularly for my family, because I guess not that they'd known anybody affected by it, but they'd
heard about this. Out,
they'd heard about it, you know. And I think basically at that point in the sort of early to mid 2000s, they were still thinking, well, coming out means you're signing up to this life. This yeah. is how you're going to die.
You're going to die. Yeah, totally.
That was the first thing they said to me. It was like, don't get AIDS. I mean,
oh,
sort of so different to a world now, happily. But it was, but I forget that whole time was so massive. And I think it just sort of made me, I didn't know how young they were, frankly, like the people who died. I didn't know that. I thought, because
totally.
It had such, I knew it could have an incubation period of sort of 10 years. So I had assumed that everybody would be
40s, 50s. Yeah. yeah.
I just was so, you know, I think it's the best thing I've ever seen. On television. I think it just had so many allegories to our age now in terms
yeah.
of, in terms of a pandemic, but also in terms of equality and in terms of fighting for justice and in terms
yeah.
of so many things. And I, you know, and I kind of, yeah, I loved how they captured every, well, not every, but so many different aspects of the.
Yeah. My dear friends who you've met, my friends, Mark and Godfrey Hamilton, yes. who's a playwright, who was like writing queer theatre, you know, when people used to get up and walk out and it would be seen as sort of very shocking that he would talk about you know, the things that he would talk about on stage. And Mark Pinkosh, who's his partner, who's an actor who acted in all of Godfrey's plays, I spoke to them about it because they were in London at the time.
Can you imagine that?
And I said to them, I said, how was it watching it? And they both said how brilliant they thought it was and how it sort of really captured that moment. But yeah, they were saying, you know, Godfrey actually said, like, you know, there were friends that they knew that had AIDS and people just wouldn't sit near them. And he said he distinctly remembers like being in a pub and everyone like, you know, walking away. And so I think, you know, if people from the time are saying that it, you know, it really yeah. reflected that well. And, you yeah. know, and I think what you say is so important. I think, you know, the fact that there was so much joy, that it was so witty, that there was so much fun. You know, I was watching those house parties at the Pink Palace and thinking,
oh God,
I would love to be there right now. I would love yeah. to go to a party like that. And it looks so fun. And I thought all of the music was chosen really brilliantly as well.
Yeah, the music's amazing. The
music was fabulous. But yeah, I just, if you haven't seen it, you've got to watch it.
Our age needs to produce more music. I did yeah. that. But if you haven't, you know, like I, you know, can be very cynical. And I think about things sometimes, like saying, be like, no, that's not what I had. That's not what I experienced. And actually I found that it sort of encapsulated it so brilliantly. But I also am aware of, like, everybody going on about something doesn't always encourage people to watch it. I also think, I don't know if you realize, if you found this, is, I think you watched it in one sitting, but I was suddenly like,
a couple of days, yeah.
Oh, because I had to break it up.
Because it was so sad.
I watched the first three on Sunday and then I watched the last two last night on Thursday. Yeah, I was just too, and I kind of hungered for an age when you sat down and you watched something once a week.
Yeah.
This is a lot to take on. I mean, yeah. Some people, I think maybe it's better in a way to go through it like that. But there's so many, I almost want to say, don't watch it because it's so sad, but do watch it.
I also think it's important that we remember.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And I think,
yeah, I think so.
The people at the time who did go and march. And I think it's also a reminder that not everyone has their rights. Not everyone in our community has their rights.
Yeah.
Some people are, you know, constantly shouted at on the internet, in the street. You know, there's countries where we don't want to go on holiday, you know, where we can't, where we feel like we can't go. There's places. And I think that watching a show like that has reminded me, and whether it should remind others or not, I don't know, but that, you know, yes, I've got a lot of rights and I can do a lot of stuff, but maybe I need to be more proactive in making sure that others within our community have that, regardless of, you know, how far away they are. It's important that, you know, you make your voice heard, because that activism is really part of what makes the queer community.
Yeah, so true, isn't it? So true. And I think I did find it very life-affirming.
Mm-hmm.
It made me confront my mortality, I suppose, in order to be it does, doesn't it? But like I say, that I also felt quite purging. I think a lot of emotions it brought up, which I think is really important. And I think, you know, the sense of honouring the people of that time. And remember, there's a film I remember Attitude put on a screening of We Were Here, because there's so many, like we say, there's so many people who died and their legacy struggles because they often don't have children, or they didn't have family members who were, you know, proudly talking about it. They just had friends who could do that. But there's something about that legacy that's different, I suppose. And it felt very important to honor them. And also I felt so many things about, like, I felt so parental over the Colin figure. I guess I saw lots of myself in him.
Nice suits.
Of course, the nice suits. Going to New York. And like the heartbreaking kind of horrible boss he has. Like cold, dank. Like, you realize how shit, like, not...
people can be.
Shit people can be, and how, like, dank the sort of 70s and 80s. Not that they were totally, but there were moments of it being kind of cold. I remember that coldness in the 80s and
totally agree. Kind of
dark and gloomy, and it just felt difficult. Things felt difficult and stuff. And so, yeah. And also, look. And I'm sorry for any mums listening to this. You can turn this off now. And I'm sorry. It's an elegant thing to mention, but I'm kind of glad that that there's a mention of I'm just going to say it. Douching.
Yes.
No, people don't talk about this.
No, I think it's good that it wasn't shied away from, of like the awkwardness of sex.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt like it wasn't gratuitous. I didn't feel like I was watching it going, I'm sure it's fine for, I'm sure that's what all the beautiful people do. Yeah, I'm sure they're all shagging all the time and it's all perfect. But actually there was a sort of sense of sort of the kind of silliness or the vulnerability, I suppose. But I feel like we could talk about it for hours.
Yes.
I'm sorry if I've gone on. Sorry.
No, you haven't at all. I think, I think it's worth mentioning. So go and watch it and feel all the emotions.
And maybe have some. Yeah. And I mean, I just really did cry at the end. I didn't think I was going to cry. I just felt sad. And then I just really went like, crying.
Yeah, I really cried too.
And I don't think I actually saw the last few scenes.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It's just crying. It's life affirming, and it's
important. Sort
of, it's important, and I think it's a part of all of our history, and it's important to, once we look at it face on, we can hopefully learn from it and be you know, and sort of carry on the torch from those people we lost, and sort of carry on the, you know, the kind of love that they had in the world and showed in the world, and carry that on.
Also, one more thing I just want to mention before we finish for today. Another thing that I felt really heartened by was there was quite a lot of people on Twitter talking about It's a Sin and talking about the fact they've lived with HIV for such a long time.
Yes.
It's really important that those voices are heard, that,
yes,
you know, you can live a very long and happy life now.
Yeah.
You know, with taking a few tablets a day. And it's really important that, you know, I mean, medical advances certainly weren't fast enough. And I think people were treated
interesting,
dreadfully.
Isn't it, how sometimes medical advances can be made very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought that was a really, I just want to mention that before we finish, because.
No, I think that's so true. I was going to put this on social media as well about how, if you are, you know, if you've watched it and you're kind of like going, what is this? Why isn't it a thing now? I would say THT, the Terence Higgins Trust, have a really great resource on it, mm-hmm. on tht.org.uk, mm-hmm. has so much, it's a great resource. If you are feeling anxious and you'd like to speak to somebody, Switchboard is brilliant.
Yes.
Switchboard.lgbt, and their number is 0300 330 0630. So that's 0300 330 0630. I haven't read out a phone number
in years.
Yeah. If you wanted to speak to somebody who had questions, or you were upset about something, and
it's really easy to get tested if you've watched that and you feel really scared. It's really easy to get tested and to get help.
And because of the advances that have been made, I'm sure most people who listen to us know this, but now people are, if they're on the right treatment and have access to the right treatment, then they can be in a position where they're undetectable, so that the amount of HIV in their blood is reduced so much that it doesn't even show up on a test. And it also means once they're in that position that they can't pass it on. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing feat. And of course there are treatments available in PrEP, if you're worried, that you can take, it's now available on the NHS. And,
yes.
And also, if you're worried that you've been exposed in the last up to 72 hours, then you can access PEP, and you can do that at A&E or any doctor. A&E or any sexual health clinic. Yeah. But there's all to play for on those websites.
Yes. Have a look at Terence Higgins Trust. Maybe don't get all of your medical advice from me and Tom.
Yes.
Despite the fact that we both definitely have PhDs.
That's the other thing, though. I mean, as you have to do a lot of educating of yourself, don't you? I mean, I guess it might be different now, but I dare say there's probably not that. I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know. I wouldn't like to say, but I think you have to do a lot of educating of yourself. And I remember learning about it, like being very like, they give that THD would get these little pamphlets printed, which were great, but it still felt like it was a combination of reading those and watching Eurotrash that. It's my only resource. So do access everything now, and be safe and celebrate the progress that's been made. That's
absolutely. Well, we'll speak to you next time on Like-Minded Friends.
I hope
you manage to have a joyous week in some way.
Susie, what are you going to do to be joyous this week?
What am I going to do? Do you know, I've been dancing around the lounge a lot.
Oh, that's a nice thing to do. Popping on your record player.
Yeah.
What's your favourite song to dance to?
I mean, I've had on The Greatest Showman quite a lot.
Lovely choice. I haven't listened to that soundtrack for a while.
Yeah, it's so joyous. I mean, some songs are sad, but I've been doing a lot of dancing around the lounge, which has cheered me up. And speaking to you, Tom.
Well, you know, I don't need to get too happy. I like to be the current and the downer.
Well, the feeling's not neutral.
No, talking to you always makes me feel a lot better. And also, I bought a hyacinth. Okay.
So
you know,
I've got everything.
So there's something for everybody. I love the smell, and I also love a daffodil. I've got daffodils that Mum bought me these.
Oh, very nice.
They smell lovely. I love the smell of daffodils. Some people don't like them and say they
smell.
No,
they're very nice. They don't smell like piss.
I don't think they do. And hyacinths, the same, they remind me of spring.
But so, you do always piss yourself in spring, don't you?
Push myself in
piss
spring.
Piss yourself in spring.
Oh, piss myself in spring, yes. Come the first crocus. I You cannot find me for running home to change my trousers. So
always ended on a class. We're always ending on a classy night.
Always classy, you know. Always
you know
classy.
Us.
Always here for you. So you guys have a wonderful week. Find something joyful, put it on the internet.
Why not?
We need joy. Also write a song, write more songs. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Well, we'll see.
Take care. Right. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.